This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Don't sweat the technique. You found the killer bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, good, bad, ugly. You have any other, for the Astros weekend, any other goods?
Spencer Arrighetti.
He was fantastic.
Really, really good. At the time, I was like, well, I know that, you know, they were trying to figure out who's going to be number three in the rotation. And you can go Blanco because of the total year he had last year, but Arrighetti at the end of the year. So I was like, oh, I'm interested to see how Arrighetti pitched. Well, he was impressive, especially against, yeah, maybe there's some guys off to a slow start, but that Mets lineup's pretty good, and he was very impressive.
Yeah, here was Arrighetti after the game talking to John Smoltz about his kind of his mindset. Arrighetti in that game, real quick, though, six innings, struck out five, gave up just one run. I think that they like Arrighetti's stuff more than Blanco's. Just one hit, too, by the way. Yep. And the way the run scored, he got siried, by the way.
I cringed at that, though. I was like, you got to attack him there because you know a walk's a double.
Well, did you see how he scored, Siri?
Yeah.
From third?
Yeah, because when Arrighetti he eased up on the throw to first.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No,
and
you can't.
Like, he played it right, looked the runner over, like made sure he was getting back, didn't have his momentum going to the plate. But then he turns and he goes through slow motion and just lobs it over there. You know what Greg Maddux would have done? Greg Maddux would have fielded it, would have never looked at Jose Siri, would have faked the throw to first,
yep.
And then you got Jose Siri in a rundown there.
But that's where you just get too comfortable knowing that's the play, so everybody knows you made it, and he's not going to go. And, you know, Siri's just nuts enough, he's gone.
The good thing about this is I don't think Arrighetti will make this mistake again in his career, and you still won the game. Mm-hmm. So like, it didn't cost you, and I do think it's a valuable lesson that will follow him for the rest of his life. Here was Arrighetti talking to John Smoltz after the game.
I attribute it to a couple of things, maybe a change in mentality, a shift in my focus, maybe taking it away from the stuff model and kind of just trying to go out there and really compete my nuts off every time I take the ball.
There you go. Change of philosophy. Arrighetti's an ace now. It's mindset. It's ace mindset. That's ace mentality. I love it from Spencer Arrighetti. I thought Hunter Brown was one of my goods, too. He was very good in his first start. I know he didn't win the game, but punched out seven in six innings. Allowed just four hits. He touched 99.6.
Some people
on the TrackMan
claim he hit 100 on
one
pitch.
Round up. Okay. They round up. So the TrackMan 99.6, whenever they show it on the board, it's a round up or down, depending. So because it was 99.6, it gets rounded up to 100. But he didn't actually hit 100. But 99.6, pretty damn close.
I don't remember him hitting, like last year it felt like he topped out, what, 97, 98?
Probably touched 98. Maybe touched 99 once or twice.
Yeah, look, I'm not trying to be, this is not alarmist. It's just, kind of put a pin in it. So, we'll check back in a few months. But I remember DeGrom one offseason all of a sudden came back with two extra miles per hour. And he always, I know, it's just something that was
the
back of my head.
You really know how to excite the troops here. You really know how to bring everybody up. Hey, Hunter Brown looked great. One of the goods. Oh, I remember when DeGrom was touching 99.
Yeah, he had
goodness,
multiple
Brian.
No, he was touching 99 was fine for him. He started touching 102. It was crazy.
He pitched pretty well yesterday.
DeGrom did actually pitch
did.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
But he dialed
Brian,
it back.
You're grounded for the rest of the show.
That's fine.
You're Tyler and Tyler.
I got
Tyler.
Stuff to work
you
on.
Too.
That's fine.
My goodness. Yeah, Hunter. Oh, I love that Hunter Brown was throwing hard. Oh, I remember when DeGrom started throwing hard. He's never been the same. What else do you want to bring down, Brian? What do you want to say about Arrighetti?
Luis Garcia was the same way. I mean, God, he was playing pitching better. No time in the minors, and all of a sudden he's killing.
Brian doesn't like fun. He doesn't like good time. He doesn't enjoy it.
Zero fun, sir.
He doesn't like the fun. That Brian guy. I didn't see DeGrom's outing. What did he do?
He shut down the Red Sox yesterday.
He shoved?
Pretty good, yeah. He had Bregman and everybody dancing, and his fastball was right there where it used to be. So it was maybe not. It wasn't 102, but he was throwing really hard.
Man, I hope he gets hurt soon. Is that bad of me that I want Jacob DeGrom?
There were a lot of big injuries in the first weekend, weren't there?
I hope DeGrom starts hitting 99.6 again. That way he can tear his UCL. Oh, geez. Too bad Eric Geddy is going to be an ace for someone else, not the Astros. The Astros still have him for this year plus four more, Keith from LA. Like, you're starting to think about the 2030s already? Pump the brakes, Keith from LA. Come on. It was the pitch that should have struck out Alonso, painted 100 on the corner. That was very close. I thought it could have very easily been a strike.
Mm-hmm.
Dotting up the outside corner at a hundo. I love Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown's stuff is nasty.
No, he's going to be really good for a long time. Right, Brian?
He also had a did you hear his quote after the game about, remember that he had that little step off, they got the runner at second, Brendan Rodgers dropped the ball?
I don't.
There was a play, runner took off too early, they step off, Hunter Brown steps off, throws to second, Rodgers hits him right in the glove, should have been an easy out, yeah. Hits him in the glove, drops it, runner at second base, I think he eventually scored. And Hunter Brown after the game was like, I put Brendan Rodgers in a bad spot, it was not a good throw. Leadership.
That's taking one for the team right there. Yeah.
I mean, because it was ruled an E4. It was very clearly a ball that he should have caught, tagged the runner out, you know, big out in a big spot. And Hunter Brown's like, yeah, I didn't lead him very well. What a guy. What a guy, Hunter Brown.
Lance McCullers
it. What'd you say? Lance McCullers
it? Remember it? When he,
Lance did
when,
that?
When Yuli dropped the ball at first base.
No, Lance did the opposite.
No, that's when Altuve took him in the corner of the dugout
and told
him don't ever do that again.
Yeah, Hunter Brown did the opposite.
Right,
of
I'm saying that.
Yeah,
he didn't. Yeah, Lance McCullers was the one that actually sold him out on
right.
the field.
Yeah, it was like the polar opposites right. there for right. sure. Yeah, I love that quote from Hunter Brown. Like, yeah, that was a big out. You should have got a little help defensively, and you're the one that's like, yeah, I let him bat. No, you didn't. That throw was there. It was a great throw.
It's a gold glove second baseman.
It used to be.
I guess.
Somebody got mad at me the other day because I said Dubon was a better defender than Brendan Rodgers. Like, what are you talking about? Rodgers has won a gold glove. He did it as a utility player.
It's true.
He did it as a utility player. But, I mean, Rodgers won his, 3 years ago?
Yep.
713. Ocho says, did y'all hear the Cubs broadcaster concerned about Ryan Stressly? It's funny that you bring that up, Ocho. Because, here at 670 the score in Chicago has already soured on Ryan Pressly. Here was 670 the score.
I felt it Saturday night watching Ryan Pressly struggle. Oof. Had some major Craig Kimbrel vibes and memories.
Is he because still available?
Similarly, Craig Kimbrel came to the Cubs after accomplishing a lot in his baseball career. And he came to the Cubs higher on reputation than results, as it turned out. And trying to squeeze out whatever was last of his career. And when Ryan Pressly struggled again, I'm sorry, that was my reaction and thought. Why was he available? He was available for a reason. The Astros tend to know what they're talking about. I know that there was a setup factor for Josh Hader. It didn't work out last season, whatever the case is. But I'm starting to wonder, why was he available?
There you go. They're already tired of that. That was weird that they were. I didn't hear that music whenever I saw this on Twitter. Like that's like championship.
I thought they
music.
Took it from the NFL films
that's
or something.
Like winning music.
Yeah, like a serious drive at the end of a game in football.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're setting up something good. Like that.
Instead of John Facenda, you had a guy going, "Dad, Ryan Pressly's the guy. I lost all total confidence in. He's like Hader last year. Good Lord,
that music was out of place."
Yeah, exactly.
They don't know anything in Chicago. But they're already souring on Ryan Stressly. It's two games in, and they're already ticked off of their new closer. Remember, the Astros traded money to get him off the books.
Good riddance.
For a flyer prospect.
He was great when he was here, and now it's great that he's not, because it doesn't seem like he's changed from what we saw at the end of last year.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, Eric the driver. Three quality starts is good. His bad, only one homer, and his ugly Altuve in left field. What did Altuve do in left field that was ugly?
He had that one kind of misjumped,
but
that ended up a
double
for
Soto. Yeah, the hit probability
was
only like 9%.
Oh, was it that low?
It was 9%.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
See, I didn't think it was an easy play.
No,
now,
it was kind of he Peter Panned it, and he kind of jumped too early.
Here's the thing, though, with the catch probability. They don't factor in the wall.
I'm sorry, I did say catch probability. Well, I don't know if this will be different, but it was hit probability. I don't know if that's a different number or not.
I'm not sure about that one.
Okay.
Either. But I know I always hear Callis talk about how the catch probability doesn't factor in wall. Because, you know, if you're
right.
You know, approaching the wall,
sure.
The chances of you making a catch go down, but the catch probability doesn't have a way of factoring that in.
Jake Myers had a nice catch.
He did. That was a really
nice catch. Up against the wall.
415 feet away.
Yep.
I guess it couldn't have been 415.
Now, people were saying that would have been a home run. It wouldn't have been a home run. It was still a hell of a catch.
It would have been a home run some places.
Yeah.
Not at
Minute Maid. Not at the icebox.
No, that ball is not gone. Oh, did I say Minute Maid? Yeah. My bad. I meant the dike. 713-780-3776. Let's get to our bads and our uglies. I had one more good, too, that we'll get to on the other side. 713-780-3776. Killer East, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know, something I love to do, I love getting out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Whether it's dropping a line in the water on their creek, some of the best fishing in Texas, whether it's hiking their 92-acre property, how about kayaking, how about playing some pickleball, or just hanging out by the pool with a drink. I love that as well. If you're looking to escape the rat race, get rid of the hustle and bustle of the job, traffic, or whatever's causing you stress, you need to get out to Two Creek Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay at twocreekscrossingresort.com right now. From open green spaces to wildlife you don't see in the city, beautiful, majestic trees, and some of the best fishing. I told you about that. In Texas, you can't beat that. Also, one of the great perks of Two Creeks Crossing Resort, 90 minutes and you're there. 90 minutes from Houston and you're there. Stop wasting your valuable time off traveling, whether it's via plane, whether it's driving 6 hours to go somewhere. No, you can enjoy a little rest and relaxation 90 minutes from Houston. Escape the city at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Two Creeks Crossing Resort, they do anything for their customers. Hey, barbecue cook-off? Well, they'll do that every now and then. How about a crawfish boil? Yeah, why not? You're always going to have a great time at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. From glamping to the cabins, tree houses, just pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Book your weekend escape now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Chill out, what she yelling for? Lay back, it's all been done before. And if you could only...
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
This is kind of stuff that you were listening to the other day with your children. The
this
Scorned
is the
Woman radio.
Version of it. It's like Miley's song, I Can Buy Myself Flowers.
Oh, yeah. I kind of like that song.
That's a good song. It's actually a good song, but that would be more like...
What channel is this Scorned Woman radio again?
I think it's... Well, the one where... whichever one they do, the single-digit numbers, channel 4.
All right, I'm going to check it out. If I'm getting bankers like this and Miley Cyrus's Flowers, any Lady Gaga on the Scorned Woman radio...
That's
the abracadabra's on my
nerves. Abracadabra's on every one, two, three,
every
four,
commercial
five
break
of all
right
the
now.
Current music channels. That'll play on all five.
713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. Who's been struggling more away from the Astros so far, Tucker or Bregman? I haven't been paying attention. I think each
Tucker
of them
hit a bomb.
Tucker hit a bomb.
I saw Bregman, I think they played a day game today, maybe. Somebody tweeted just a little bit ago that he made like tried a diving play and like smacked his face on the ground.
He
looked
had
like his nose was broken.
One or two hits in the opener against the Rangers because they booed the hell out of him.
I think he's got a broken
intros.
Nose now.
He does?
It looked like he broke his nose today.
Well, yeah, and Devers, whether he wants to be a DH or not, that means designated to hit when you are a hitter.
Have you seen his stats so far?
He's had like 10 K. He started out 0 for 2 today after being like 0 for 14 with 10 Ks.
You're almost there. 0 for 16 with 12.
Oh,
that was
God.
Devers.
That included
Devers,
today?
Yep. No, that was before today.
Oh, my goodness. Awful.
This texture, J-Bone, did you bring any plump Weston rabbits back with you? We'll purchase two from you if so. Who are you, person?
Plump?
Your what? Stalker's back.
This guy texted me the other day on Friday.
Okay.
And he was like, hey, did you get any of those Weston rabbits? We stayed at the Weston in Indy, and there was rabbits outside of the Weston in Indy. This guy is stalking me. I got a stalker, and I've never been more proud. 713-780-3776. I'm so happy. I'm here. I've made it.
The Ducks are in Memphis?
The Peabody.
The Peabody.
No, there they don't. These are wild. These are rabid rabbits.
Wesley Wabbits? Are you outside?
Trying to say rabid rabbits?
I think I said it right.
I know, but you can't say that phrase and not sound like Elmer Fudd. You can't do it.
The rabid rabbits are running wild.
Wesley Wabbit.
You can't do it. It can't be done.
Oh, Wesley Wabbit.
Oh, man. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith has an Atlanta Braves comment. This should be good. Keith?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Obviously, the news, big news, Jerickson Profar popped for 80 games. He's going to miss some time, obviously. He's no longer eligible for the playoffs. The Braves look awful. The Brewers look awful. Question, how lucky are the Braves that they have signed Alex Verdugo?
They're just over the moon that they signed a mediocre offensive player. They're pumped up. I'm sure they're not at all sad that their free agent acquisition in Jerickson Profar just got banged for 80 games. They're thrilled that they have Alex Verdugo. I'm sure that's at front of mind for the Braves today. But it does explain Jerickson Profar career year last year, huh?
Maybe.
Profar's career year, let's just do OPS plus. His career year prior to last season was 115. Last year in San Diego was 134.
Ooh.
His career high in OPS was 793 in 2018. Last year was 839. Oh. His career OPS is 725. Last year was 839. Not
Man.
A huge surprise that he got popped with an 80-game suspension.
Marwin Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm. And Fernando Tatis, he was in San Diego. He got 80 games a few years ago. I don't know if it's similar or anything, but that's... Stinks for the Braves. They signed this guy as their, you know, outfield bat, and then he's popped for 80 games first week of the year.
I guess the silver lining is at least you have a Verdugo. I don't even know how Verdugo's doing in their minor league system, but at least you got a really dirt cheap, experienced outfielder that you may desperately need now.
Yeah, I think that was Keith's point, but yeah, I can't imagine they're happy today.
Yeah, I was going to say, he went about it a different way. But yeah, at least they do have a backup plan, but it's not the guy they want out there.
All right, last good that I had that we haven't mentioned, Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers pitching and then, like, you know, having decent stuff. I know his line score wasn't good. But then also they announced today that he's, like, his bounce back was good. And they've already scheduled him for a start this weekend in Sugar Land again.
I was going to say, that to me was like, because I heard conflicting reports of, oh, he gave up two runs. Oh, you know, he walked a guy. Well, but he struck out the side with hit 95 on the gun, but he had all of his pitches in the first inning, struck out all three guys. And then, you know, you get into this where people are expecting it like to be an Astro start where every pitch matters. He's still experimenting with the changeup to make sure that he's locating it, and he's working on some things too. So the fact that he was able to throw 35 pitches, I think it was, and now today he feels good and he wants to go three innings the next time. I mean, I hope he doesn't have to go seven innings before we see him if he keeps doing this. But this is kind of the progression that I wanted to see. So I'm extremely happy with it.
Yeah, I don't, you know, line score, I don't really worry about it. How does he look? What does the stuff look like? Is the stuff playing? This is bounce back there. And they announced that he's going to start this weekend. So the bounce back seems to be there as well. Bad uglies for you?
Bad for me. The uglies are tough, but bad for me, there were a couple. But Yordan waiting till Saturday to get his first hit, and I thought it was gone when he hit it.
He hit it far.
Yeah, he hit it a ton, but yeah, he's off to a slow start, but I'm not really worried about that. But you would like to have seen a little bit more from him. I did have the fact that this is a different team with no power. You're not seeing the power numbers of the past. Pena has the only home run, which I don't think you'd expect it either, but we'll see how the season goes from that regard. And then the other, to me, is what I always get on that you and I go back and forth on, and I'm not going to get to the point of panic or worry yet, but I'd like to see cleaner innings out of my eighth and ninth guy.
That's fair. No, I think, and then both of those guys have to be good. Like, those guys have to be good for this bullpen to be good. The way that this bullpen is constructed, you can't have a down year from either one of those guys.
Right.
They both have to be good.
Right. So that's, you know, you'd like, we've been through this before where, yes, their stuff is so good that they're able to escape their own trouble. I just would rather them, like, pick up and get out of other people's messes, not create the mess that they get out of for themselves, mm-hmm. self-induced.
Yeah, and you know, those things can stack up. You log innings, you log pitches, all of that.
Weren't all the seventh inning guys good, though? Because I know that King was good.
King was good. Okert looked good.
Yep.
Steven Okert.
Yep, so the seventh inning guys, they did their job. So Steven that was Okert. Part of it.
They didn't give up a run.
That's right.
That's the name of the game.
One of my goods was the middle relief.
We told you to turn off that. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Well, the middle relief guys combined four innings, shutout ball, six strikeouts. So, I mean, as much as, you know, some people might hand-wring because, you know, they maybe lessened the bullpen depth, the middle relief guys came through.
I like that word. Hand-wring.
Hand-wring.
I'm stealing that. And you're also doing it without Caleb Wart, who you thought was going to be your sixth, seventh inning guy. And you're also doing it without Forrest Whitley, who everybody anticipated to be on this roster. So, yeah, good signs there. One of the bads that I had, and look, I think that the Astros are going to come around and score plenty of runs, and, like, the predictive numbers are good, and, like, you know, they're hitting the ball hard, and they're seeing pitches. But I want to see more than six runs over three games.
No doubt.
I want to see more than six runs over three games. I still think this offense is going to be good. I'm not saying, oh, no, let's bang the table and be mad. But score some more runs. And then my ugly rookie moment for Cam Smith. Juan Soto's first homer as a Met bounced into right field. What did Cam Smith do with Juan Soto's first home run as a Met?
He threw
it in the stands.
Oh, boy.
Cam Smith threw it in the stands, which Astro fans are going to love that they threw Juan Soto's home run back into the stands. But it's kind of funny that it's a visiting player's home run that you're throwing into the stands. I wonder if they threw it back onto the field.
Monumental?
His first Met homer.
Oh, first Met homer.
First Met homer.
I was going to say, like, if it was like his 500th, yeah, that would be even worse.
Oh, it'd be way worse.
That was like, didn't they do that with Brady's one touchdown ball? Did Mike Evans or something threw it in the crowd?
Yeah, I think that's right.
And they had to go get it?
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, these days with all the team security, the undercover, they're on that in a heartbeat if they really need it back, and they start bribing the fan immediately. Because the one guy, there was one recently where he wanted a Verlander-signed jersey and some other stuff, and Verlander signed it during the game. It was on ESPN. So they bribed the fans really well.
Yeah. they do bribe the fans pretty good.
Oh, that's the one I was going to mention to you guys, though. A bribing, but will it work? You saw the Timberwolves-Pistons scuffle last night?
Yeah, I did.
So it ended up that it went into the stands in the front row, and they were all laying on a kid. And A-Rod, as the new owner, raced over there within like a couple of timeouts with a brand new jersey, thinking that was going to do it. And I saw the dad kind of giving a look like, this ain't getting you out of this easy. There might be some money in this for us.
A-Rod. A-Rod's always so tan. He's always so easy to dislike. He's got the duck lips. He walks around with duck lips at the age of 55 with this unbelievable tan.
Yeah, he's just so easy to dislike all the time.
He really is. Sasser was in the middle of that thing, dude.
He was.
Yeah, look at the Cougars.
Well,
man.
And what's his name? Isaiah Stewart, who just wants all the smoke.
I love Isaiah Stewart. I want him on the Rockets. 8835 says Lance McCullers orders grilled chicken at Popeyes. They don't have grilled chicken there. They have the blackened chicken, which actually is pretty good. The blackened chicken at Popeyes, that smacks. I saw Lance McCullers pitch from behind the plate. His stuff was moving. Most of his velo was in the low 90s from what I saw. That's good. That's where I want Lance McCullers to be.
Well, that's expert listenership, too.
Yeah. It is good listenership. The Hive, I told you the Hive is very intelligent. Very intelligent community. A lot of people want us to talk about the torpedo bets. I was going to save this for Mailbag Monday, but I don't think we're going to have time to get to Mailbag Monday, so we'll have to do a Mailbag Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we can bring up the torpedo bets. What do you think of the torpedo bets?
To me, it's interesting because it's all legit. It's all within the rules, right? So it's kind of like the Dodgers got creative with the way that they were able to get that contract for Ohtani. The Yankees got creative and brought in, I think he went to MIT and then was a professor at Michigan and worked at NASA and found a way to like reconfigure where the sweet spot of the bat is. But it's definitely going to be interesting how Major League Baseball handles this. And then the other thought that I had instantaneously was if the Astros did this, it would be a major controversy and it would be like cheating.
Yeah,
it's a savvy move, but it changes the game the way it's been played for like 100 years.
I want more data on it. Like, let's see if this is actually something that's going to have a huge uptick in homers. And if it does, I think they're going to have to ban it.
It's crazy because now teams are all calling their bat provider trying to get it. They said Stanton used it last year and in the playoffs when he was on his hot streak. They said it was part of the reason why his bat speed went up like a couple miles an hour. So it's a different way. I understand it's supposed to be falling within the rules. But it's going to change things, and it's going to tick some people off.
This is an example of baseball teams always trying to be on the cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether it's players using performance-enhancing drugs, whether it's teams stealing signs,
Apple Watches, and
whether it's changing the barrel weight distribution of the bat. Like, this is another example that Major League Baseball teams are always trying to be cutting edge.
I saw Josh Reddick tweeting out, is this how we help bad hitters?
I think it is.
Because a lot of the problem is you've always been taught your whole career as a hitter to barrel it up. And now guys that can't barrel it up, that get caught hitting it on the label, are now getting rewarded. Jess Chisholm has 3 home runs. The Yankees had 15, well, they had 15 home runs in the series against the Brewers. 9 of them were hit with the bat.
If I would have had this back in my high school playing days, I might have hit 425 instead of hitting 400. Instead of being 2 for 5, maybe I would have been 3 for 7.
You would have got two more bats.
If the coach was being nice, blowout games, up 10, down 10. You know how it goes.
Wasn't it like something obscene, like the guys used in the bat in the one day in the lineup when they scored 20 runs? Wasn't it like 3 or 4 home runs in the first couple innings? Or
yeah, it was also Nestor Cortez, though.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if Nestor the molester just isn't good anymore. He's a tomato can and he's a bum.
I also just want to see a bigger sample size because it might just be that the Brewers have terrible pitching.
Yeah, like, I want to see that.
The Brewers gave up 11 runs to the Royals today. Did the Royals also have it? And someone posted a graphic of, like, the amount of 90 mile an hour or less or slower fastballs faced. And the Yankees had faced, like, 30 more slow fastballs than anyone else in the league through the first 3 games. So this might just be terrible Brewers pitching.
Could be. 713.
But to my point, though, I mean, if the Astros do this,
I'm with you on that part. We need to see a bigger sample size when they're not facing the Brewers.
Maybe so.
Oh, this Lance McCullers' favorite sandwich is from Blimpy.
Is Blimpy still around? It can't be around.
I think I drive by them every now and then. Okay. I don't know,
are
though.
They really?
I've never had a sandwich from Blimpy.
I don't think I have either.
I can't imagine it's good.
Do you guys like Firehouse?
A knockoff Subway. Yeah.
Like what?
The one by our house I didn't like.
I'm not a huge sandwich guy. I like Firehouse. They're one of my favorite.
Oh,
I like,
Firehouse is fine, yeah.
Firehouse, Jimmy John's, Popbelly.
Jimmy John's is really good.
Popbelly's my favorite.
Popbelly's
if we're talking
good
about
too.
A chain.
Yeah.
Jurickson Profar did nothing wrong, signed Steve Finley, Luis Gonzalez, Ken Caminiti.
Brady Anderson.
Rest in peace. I think he's talking about Padres, though.
Oh, okay.
Throw Manny Machado in there. The Padres are a bunch of cheaters.
You throwing around accusations?
No, the texture is. I'm just reading the text. It's not my thing. There's a Blimpy in the Woodlands, and it rules. I don't know if it rules.
We've covered a lot of bases today. I didn't think we'd get to Blimpy either.
I thought Burger King rules. Isn't that the Burger King thing?
You rule. Yeah.
Somebody else just said there's a Blimpy in the Woodlands not far from you, Branham. Fake Tony Stark. So.
You stopping by?
Forget the rabbits. They know where you live.
I might have to. I mean, it's for the show. I do things for the show. Profar's on the Braves. Thank you, Texter. He'd been a Padre for the last 5 years. Blimpy's really good. Jersey Mike's is the best. Jersey Mike's is good. They have a good.
I like Jersey Mike's, too. Yep.
They're a good sandwich. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Have you guys ever heard of Cheba Hut? Stoner what? Sandwich Shop? I've never heard of it.
No.
I've never heard of that one, Desert. But I'm happy that I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you like it. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Let's discuss the Rockets. They laid boots to booty yesterday in the desert. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Your tax collector's probably been boots to your booty over all of these property taxes you're paying. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility and cost. Omo is here to help you with both of those things. Let them take a little bit off your plate, but also save you money. A lot of homeowners are overpaying on property taxes, and it should not be you. Head to ownwell.com, sign up in less than 3 minutes to get their experts fighting for you. Their cutting-edge technology can start saving you money with no upfront cost. You heard that right. No upfront cost. You only pay if you save. No risk, all reward. Put your property tax savings back in your pocket. Reinvestment. Take the family on vacation. However you want to spend it. Ownwell levels the playing field, eliminates the concern of paying too much on property tax for the everyday home and property owner like you and me. 86% of Ownwell's customers receive a reduction, with the average customer saving over $1,100. Deadline is May 15th. Don't run out of time. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start your protest today at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
This is another request from somebody. We're gonna
Jeremy,
be,
from
we're,
Jeremy J. Branham.
Yeah, I did it. I know this song from SNL, Domingo. They do the Domingo thing. It's funny.
I know this song from my daughter again.
It's catchy.
It is catchy.
Oh, it's extremely catchy.
Very catchy.
It into it. There's a commercial now that uses it. But then I found out that, and I was warned by other parents, don't let your daughter go to Sabrina Carpenter concerts.
Yeah, just let them listen to
Little Saucy.
Battered Woman Radio.
Yeah, don't do that either.
Woman Radio.
I'm telling you, I'm sending warnings out for people
level.
That might not be Jeez. Aware.
This song, I like this song. It's a banger. It's a banger, I think.
Is it a banger, though?
I think it's a banger,
It's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It'd be pretty good, but a banger I would think is more like a.
Yeah, I might not go to banger,
just banger
level.
Really good,
but it's pretty good.
It's just really good. Really good. Really good. It's Brandon Carpenter. Hey, we're gonna do You Call It Fridays. We'll workshop the name, but you're gonna be picking all of our rejoin music on Fridays from now on. Welcome to the Bees, Sean Mapes, because he's gonna do it Friday. Join us this Friday. Why is Mapes going to be with us Friday? Well, join us Friday at the River Ranch Dayton, new community just northeast of Houston. 16 new model homes, homes from the high 200s to the 500s. Featuring the Angel Lagoon with white sand beaches and turquoise water. Must-see community. ESPN will be there noon to 6. Paul Gallant and the Killer Bees. I'll be in San Antonio, but the boys will be there. Learn more at riverranchdayton.com. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees. What'd you think of the Rockets laying boots to booty last night in the desert?
Loved it. That's what they're supposed to do. Take a team that's just hanging on by a thread trying to get into the play-in and buried them. And they buried them early and often. And boy, I had a little bit of a scare when a man went down.
Yeah.
That was cringeworthy, hoping that he got up. And then the fact that he got back in the game right away was great. But look, I think that we've seen good Jalen again. And Jalen was just named Western Conference Player of the Week.
Underrated player.
He's back to being really good Jalen again. And you hope he stays there. But he was hitting everything. He was carrying the team. You got production from all the starters. The guys that did come in off the bench and got to fill up minutes, gave the starters a chance to rest, never got close, up by as many as 42. Good win.
Yeah, it was a good win. Jalen's playing well. I think Jalen's underrated. I think Jalen Green, the disrespect he gets for the caliber of player he is and the caliber of production he has, I think it's unwarranted.
I think it's unwarranted because I think it's unfair for everybody to expect that just because he was drafted where he was that he's supposed to be the next superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody's going to be that. And with the way the draft process is these days, not everybody is coming close to the way the drafts used to be. But I think that he's a very, very productive player. I think the consistency is his bugaboo that kills him. But overall, he's really talented.
Yeah, I think he's getting a little bit more consistent. He's shooting, you know, better than he's shot in his career, slightly. Like, he's been pretty consistent with his shooting percentages, but they're up a tick this season. Like, you look at the three-point percentage this year, 3 points at 35%. Like, that's fine. His career is at 34%. 35% is his career year. And it's only the fourth year, and he's 22 years old. Like, to me, he has taken the climb. Like, he has shown moderate progress each year. I think with the addition of Ime Udoka, he's kind of changed who he is as a player. Like, mm-hmm. you talk about it a lot, from an AAU player to a winning player. Because mm-hmm. now he has winning tendencies. You know, he's becoming a better playmaker for others. His handle's gotten better. He's a better passer. He's a better rebounder. He's a far better defender. Whenever he was under Silas, it was like, my goals are to win Rookie of the Year. Under Ime Udoka, my goal is to go to the playoffs. Like,
right.
he has matured a lot in four seasons. And I do think a lot of times we kind of take for granted that he's only 22 years old.
See, and that's what we, to take it full circle on some of the topics we covered today on the show with Nash, with guys that got kind of slow starts. Not everybody starts and immediately becomes the player that they're going to end up being for the majority of their career. And so you talk about Steve Nash, you talk about Chauncey Billups, you talk about guys that took maybe, in certain cases, several stops along the way to finally become the player that they would end up being. Jalen's making progress. It's like this Rockets team. The first, you know, from the first last year of Silas to the first year of Ime, you won 22 more games. That's progress. You didn't win a championship, you didn't make the playoffs. Now you're seeing him progress from year to year to where he's not just iso ball and selfishly only about his shot and not playing defense or anything else.
Yeah.
To a guy that can impact the game like we talk about. When the shot's not falling, get to the line, which he was doing recently. Get your points from that perspective, but still share the ball, make the right plays, play defense. So it's getting better.
Yeah, I've been pretty pleased with his progress. But they were on a heater yesterday. Like, you're not going to shoot like this every night. 58% from three. Durant sprained his ankle too.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be out. I saw for at least a week. Maybe.
I would say,
yeah, like that's in play.
I think they shut him down. He might have played his last game as a Sun last night.
But maybe so, and yeah. It might be ironic.
Yeah.
Because the Rockets might have been, you know, the death of Durant and Phoenix, and he might play on the Rockets next year. But this is big, too, because the Rockets have Phoenix's pick this
That's right.
year.
That's right.
So, like, if they miss the play-in, now they're a lotto team. There's a couple of teams in the East that they're very close with as well. Like, there's a chance the Rockets could have, like, a double-digit chance to land with a top-four pick.
Yeah,
which,
think
huge. About that.
You think like about all the guys in this draft, pick? And yeah, Cooper Flagg's number one, but this is a pretty stacked top half of the draft.
I would love a top three pick. Fourth pick, I think there might be a pretty significant drop-off after two. I love Harper. I think Bailey has
he
a chance to
today,
be really
right?
good. Yeah. Like, I mean, thanks.
Right.
Appreciate
the
that information.
Master of the obvious.
Appreciate that information. Like, I think there's a pretty big drop-off after – I think there's a big drop-off after one. I think there's a big drop-off after two. I think the difference between Flagg and Harper is pretty significant. I think the drop-off between Harper and anybody else is pretty significant. Like, Edgecombe is mentioned up there. Ace Bailey's been mentioned up there for a long time. Like, the Trey Johnson kid from Texas, is he a guy you would take it, you know, top three, top four pick?
They're so raw. You're right. I mean, Flagg, and then he got all that time with Team USA and everything else to where he's really polished and playing at Duke. You can see how polished he is and all the different ways he affects a game. And then you go from there and it's like, well, how far along are all these guys being drafted on youth and potential?
Yeah.
And where are they and how do they fit within what you're trying to do?
Yeah. And you only get them for a rookie contract. Like you only get them for what is it? 4 years?
4 years
NBA?
With an option.
I think the options start after year two.
Yeah, I think it's a 3 year deal. And then there's one or two team options.
It's a 4 year contract. I don't know when the options go. I thought it was 2 plus 2. I don't know. I have to look into it.
I believe that you can get the totality of total control is 4, and then you can always do what the Rockets were going to do if they had to with Jalen and Alpi, and they could tag them.
Mm.
Yeah.
They become eligible for the extension.
Correct.
And a lot of the good ones get extended
Correct.
Pretty early.
Yes. But at the same time, when you look at it, this is what we've been dealing with the Rockets for several years, where there's the three players that separate themselves from everybody in the draft, and then depending on where you pick, and in the Rockets' case, you got what was left over a couple of years, but they turned out to be pretty good. And so that's the draft is a crapshoot now with a bunch of guys based on youth and potential.
Yeah. Good win for them. Just whooped them. They get the Lakers tonight. A little
tonight's
back-to-back.
Tonight's the barometer game.
Yeah, but it's a back-to-back. I hate judging a team based on the second game of a back-to-back. Now, to be fair, none of their starters played significant minutes yesterday.
Right.
The 28 minutes by Fred VanVleet was the most. Dylan Brooks was ejected after 11 minutes, which, by the way, kind of soft. He must have said a magic word, though. He had to have said a magic word.
Well, if you listen to Udoka in the post-game, he got fired up because, really, again, there wasn't a fight. It was just a bunch of shoving and just, you know, some words being exchanged. But where he got fired up was the official immediately just pointed at him.
And teed him up.
And that's when, and I want to say he almost looked like he thought he was going to get ejected already, because then he just went nuts.
Uh-huh.
And then it was definitely, if it wasn't already done, the things that he said got him thrown out. But that's a guy that has a reputation that the officials are hunting for instead of realizing, hey, he and Durant got tied up. It happens all the time. The other guy should have been – he was the instigator, the other Suns player that came in and got involved in it. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that escalated everything, but yet you throw Brooks out of the game.
Yeah, that was – see, watching the replay, though, of the guy who came in, who'd you say it was?
I forget his name.
Yeah, I forget his name,
it's like
too.
Like Carrington,
like,
or something.
Whenever you see the other angle, he actually looks like he's being peacemaker. Like, he does definitely put his hands on Dylan, and Dylan didn't like
that.
You
just don't do that.
He put his hands on – he wasn't like a shove, but he puts his hands on him. Dylan took exception to that, and that's when he, like, ripped
Slaps
his arms through.
Yep.
And I think that's where Dylan got the first technical.
Okay.
Is whenever he banged his arms down because he didn't want to be touched in that moment. And then whenever he realized that he got teed up, that's whenever I think he said a magic word, second ejection, or second technical, you're ejected from the game.
See, and I don't know that should be enough to get him set off simply because of the fact that you knew there were going to be double tees.
Yeah.
I mean, there had to be double tees. The referees are going to do that just for the sake of the rest of the game so it doesn't get out of control.
I don't even think there should have been a double tee.
But that's just the way they call that play. almost every time. And whether you say, well, they're just putting cash in the pockets, you know, calling the tees and doing what they – but that's the way the officials call that. But to throw him out for that is absolutely ridiculous. And because if he is being singled out, he had every right to be upset about it. But now he's got to be super careful because whether he has 13 or 15, 16 is the limit where you get suspended.
I thought this one pushed him out to the limit.
Kelly Eco was tweeting about it this morning that there's – you know, because after the fact, you can go and appeal it, and some of them get rescinded. So there's a controversy right now about whether he has 13 or 15.
I want him to have 15. Just serve it. Get it out of the way.
But then everyone after that, you run the risk of getting suspended again.
Oh, you get suspended.
Yeah, it's a continuation.
Did you get another ejection or technical?
I think it's ejection.
Okay. Huh. Not great.
But it's not. Yeah, you don't want to be in that position with a guy that you need come playoff time. And you don't want to be in a series where, you know, sometimes you just have to be careful. But even for the rest of the regular season, you want to hang on to the 2 seed? Well, Dylan Brooks needs to be a part of that, and he's got to be super careful now.
Yeah, he does have to be careful. I just thought the whole altercation
action
was
weak. It's like everybody said there was a fight last night between the Wolves and the Pistons. It was a whole bunch of pushing and shoving that ended up, unfortunately, landing on some people. But there were no punches.
It was like a rugby scrum.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
That was. My guy Marcus Sasser, though, he's right there. Don't mess with Sass. He'll get you. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, a moment on HR&P. It's in the name, Human Resources and Payroll. Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. I'm sure he's over the moon today. Chris Fisher over there as well. Business owners, let HR&P help you. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HR&P can help in any in all of those areas. Or maybe you just want one of those areas covered. You don't like the compliance aspect of running that for your business. Well, stop doing it. Get HR&P around. You don't love handling the payroll. Okay, HR&P will do it for you. How about the onboarding? You don't like that. Okay, well, they got you. They're going to sit down with you and customize a plan for whatever you and your business needs. No boxes with HR&P. You're not reading off a menu. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HR&P wants to help you. You have a little bit of an issue. You want to take a little bit off your plate. You want to spend more time growing your business. Well, HR&P is going to find a way to help. They do it in a way that's unique. They have the best technology in the game. You're going to love their tech, but their service is upper echelon. You're going to love it. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always talk to someone who knows you and your business needs. We use HR&P here at Gal. I'm an email guy. Fire off an email. Quick response. Easy to understand. Grateful that we use HR&P here at Gal Media. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me all you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN, HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Coming up after us, it will be The Boss and The Gloss. So make sure you're checking them out a little bit later. It's coming up at the top of the hour. What is your car wreck of the day, Blinkers?
Car wreck of the day is Satellite Radio's scorned female channel, 04. With all the potty mouth and potty subjects that should not be subjected to younger female listeners without warning to parents. Period. End of story.
You think they do their warning like once an hour and you just didn't
hear it? I don't. Well, thank God I'm not on that channel long enough to find out if they do, but I really don't think that they do. And can I just tell you how alarming it is when you're not expecting it for the first time? And they go, hey, we got an interview with Miley Cyrus, and the first three things out of her mouth are like potty mouth and subjects that are not suitable for children.
I do enjoy that you are listening to Scorned Woman Radio.
When my daughter's in the front seat, she controls the channels.
Did you change the channel or did you try to turn it down?
Oh, I just went, oh, no, and hit that one real quick. And even she was like, Dad, I didn't know. And I was like, me either, and it won't be on again.
I'm more of a turn it down quickly because I feel like that's faster than trying to change
the
channel.
Boom, punch, it switches to another channel like that.
Yeah. I have three here.
Okay.
First one, this reporter talking to Kim Mullett after they lost yesterday in the Elite Eight. Second year they lost in the Elite Eight, won the national championship 2 seasons ago, I guess it would be. This reporter's talking to Kim Mullett like getting eliminated in the Elite Eight is a bad thing. Take a listen.
Coach, it's the second straight year you guys get eliminated in the Elite Eight. Just get... Yeah. Terrible.
Is it? How many Final Fours you play in?
Love it.
None.
So it's probably pretty good, huh?
There you go. Yeah.
All right.
Stephen A. went at Kim today. Says she's always been rude. I think it
really?
Was Shannon Sharp
she's
that
a little
was
feisty.
Like, yeah, I don't have no problem with it.
No, that's not
no
a criticism.
Problem with it.
I'm just saying that's her personality.
What kind of like? They're one of the top eight teams in the country, and you're telling them getting ousted in that round is terrible? I love every moment of Kim Mulkey putting that idiotic reporter in his place.
She's been one of the best coaches in women's basketball. She got pushed out at Baylor after she built the program.
No. She left on her own accord.
She left because she was pissed off because she couldn't get paid.
I heard it was more about arena and stuff.
I kind of knew that one of the guys deeply involved in it.
She went to LSU. And then she won a national championship there.
Like, right, but she built that program at Baylor to really, really top level, and then they didn't want to pay her for it.
Yeah. Yeah, so she left.
So she skipped.
Went to LSU, won a natty.
Okay.
And then we're saying it's terrible she got eliminated from the Elite Eight? Come on, they're one of the eight best teams in the country. What are your standards here?
What a bomb.
My goodness. How high? Like, this is what's wrong with ring culture. If top eight's not good enough, you got to be number one out of 365, not top eight out of 365. It's ridiculous. She's a legend. She's a Hall of Famer. 358 other programs would be lucky to take her spot.
I'm not arguing
bashing her for that. Ridiculous. I don't know if you saw the Kentucky baseball coach and the A&M baseball coach
over the
curfew.
Yeah, the curfew.
No game, no inning can start beyond 4:30, so Kentucky started to stall. Which a lot of people will be like, that's Bush League. But hey, how about you move up the game, Texas A&M? If you know that the travel curfew's at 4:30, how about you start at 11 instead of 1? Well, we don't want to give up the gate. Okay, well then you open yourself up to a stall.
That was at A&M?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then Jerickson Profar banged 80 games for a little woman antidepressant. It covers up steroids. Brian?
Espresso.
15 points in the first half from Tennessee is my car wreck of the day.
That's just good defense. All right, what's winning?
Shout out to Rick Barnes.
Satellite radio.
That's not bad. Satellite radio.
It's alarming.
Congratulations, satellite radio and battered woman radio. All right, does it for us. Thanks to Brian for all the hard work. He's Blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Boston Gloss right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Goodbye.